this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Very good. But yes, today is Pentecost Sunday. And we remember the day that the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, and Peter stood up and in that moment preached the gospel to Jews, devout Jews, the Bible says they were, devout Jews from every nation. And they gathered in Jerusalem on that day because the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' death and his resurrection, and for a period of 40 days, Jesus met with his disciples, at one point, over 500 of them, which is absolutely incredible. And one thing I think about when I get to heaven one day, I'm going to say, what were you talking about in those 40 days? Because we just get a little glimpse. As he comes through the wall, he walks and he walks with some of his disciples and then he disappears. He cooks them a barbecue of fish on the beach. They don't ask him where he got the fish from. But there's just this really interesting 40 days. And then he gives them this instruction, the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. And I hope you're doing some form of that, talking about Jesus, talking about the kingdom of God to those people that are around you. And he says, wait in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And so that's what they do. They see him go back to heaven. They go back to the city. They pick one more disciple because Judas left them. And they're waiting there and the Holy Spirit comes on them. And they go outside in the morning and they are filled with the love of God. They are filled with the Holy Spirit and they are declaring God's wonders and his praises. And all these devout Jews that have gathered in Jerusalem hear everything. And they see everything. It's like you're sitting at home and a jumbo jet, just you feel like it's going to land on your house and the whole walls are shaking. Everyone in Jerusalem heard this sound of the heaven opening and the Holy Spirit coming down and landing on these guys. And they all ran out and the Bible says in bewilderment. Like, what is going on? They didn't have planes back then. They didn't have loud sounds flying over, let alone landing. And they spoke in tongues. They were declaring God's praises in this moment. And so we remember this moment and these devout Jews who had calculated the 50 days, who had been preparing for 50 days after the Passover. They waited 50 days. That was an Old Testament instruction. Count 50 days and then prepare all this food. Let's have a look at what that scripture is in Leviticus chapter 23. I think it's in about verse 15. Let's go, 15 to 19. So from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought, so it's about the harvest, the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Let me tell you something. God is in accounting. That's why we have schools. He said, I've got a whole book called Numbers. And sometimes when my two teenagers now, Mia's 15 and Ruth's 13, they do, and Grace does maths. Grace is one of those annoying people. She does a maths equation and she knows how to do the answer straight away. And it's like she gets bored because she can do it easy. She got, like, I think it was last year or the year before, she got into the special class and I thought, oh no, she needs help. But no, it was the advanced class. She doesn't need any help. The other two, they need a bit of help. And they have a maths equation. I'm like, well, use your brain. You'll work it out. That's my answer. Or I'm like, well, maths is God's idea. He's got a book called Numbers. So ask him. He knows all the answers. And then Sarah usually helps them out. So, yeah, it's true. I am not helpful in schoolwork. It was in the 90s and I just, don't know about it. So anyway, counting. God is in accounting. So let's, Well, that's verse 15. Let's go to 16. Can you do all 16 to 19 in one hit? Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So they were told to count 7 weeks and the day after and 50 days and present an offering of new grain. They were coming to celebrate. This was a celebration harvest, a moment where they came together. From wherever you live, it says, and I liked what Tim was saying before over community, come one, come all. From wherever you live, in all the towns. This festival was for everyone. The Bible says, I think it's in Deuteronomy, it's another version of he's given them instruction about this particular moment, this harvest, this festival. He says, it is for you and your wives, your sons and your daughters, the Levites living among you, the foreigners, the slaves, the widows, the orphans, everyone is included. And God includes you. He includes everyone all the time. He's always including people. And here on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, everyone was there from all nations, declaring, and they heard God's wonders. It is for everyone and it is for you. God always includes you. The Bible says when Jesus was talking about fearing God, to fear the Lord. Now, he said that because it was in him. He said he was full of the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of God. And he said when he was talking about that, he talked about two sparrows. Two sparrows, they don't fall apart, they don't fall to the ground apart from the will of my Father. And then he said, and even the hairs of your head are numbered, so don't be afraid. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Now, I think, well, when I see my daughters, they've got such thick hair. And I went to my sister's 50th last night. And, you know, you get the pat on the shoulder, you're next. I'm like, let's not get too far down the track. That's still at least 18 months away. But I said to them, I said, for my 50th, what you can do is you can all each make me a wig because I don't have much hair. And you can think, oh, it's easier for God to count my hair than your hair or their hair. God doesn't have a problem with maths. He can see my head and go, well, that's four. And he can see Mia's hair, and she's not here today, but she's got really thick hair. There's 3 billion hairs in that head. But he doesn't have a problem with maths. But what it says is, even the hairs of your head are numbered. You know, God is focused on you. God is focused on you. He knows all about you. And he includes you. He includes you. And God often gave his people stuff to do, to count this up, add this up. Why? Because focus on God. Focus on him. That's what this was about, this harvest. Come together, celebrate, focus on me. That's what he did to them. And he often did that for them, set them up so that they could focus on him because they were so hopeless at just going back to idol worship or getting stuck in their own lives or going their own way. But he says, I don't know, add this up. 7 weeks plus one, let's have a party. 7 weeks plus one. And we need to take stock. We need to count. We need to add it up how we are responding. Are we responding to God? Are we going to focus our lives on him? Because he is focused on us. And he doesn't line himself up with our plans. Have you noticed? He has a plan and we add up. We line ourselves up with his plans, and he is good. He is very good, like all the time. Good, all the time. If it's not going good for you, you've either made a bad decision, you got some sin, there's another guy who's evil, there's all these other things, or just, you know, we're on a planet, middle of space, sometimes stuff happens. But God is always good. He's focused on you. And we need to add things up. We need to focus on God. We're having porridge for breakfast this morning, Nina and Grace and I. And Nina is learning how to read and she's learning how to count. It's really cute. And, you know, she was reading the other night. She's like, she's trying to focus on this word. T-O-L-D. T-O-L-D. And she smiles like she's said a word. But she's just adding up the sounds of each letter. She says, we're told. She's reading that in her book. And this morning, she's eating a porridge. So I'm going to have three more, Dad. I'm like, no, you've only had a couple. You can finish your porridge. He said, no, three more. I say, no, six. So you start to bargain, don't you? Six more because you're 6 years old. Like, okay, one, three, five, six. Okay, now four more. Like, what? Yeah, four more. Okay, four more. I say, how many is that? Well, that's 10. That's 10. And then she starts to count. 5 and 5 equals 10. 5 and 5 equals 10. You want to make sure that you get it right. You want to make sure that you focus on God and that you can add it up correctly. That your counting is right. That your counting is true. And here they counted and they added up. They were to bring loaves made from 2/10 of an ephah, the finest flour, baked with yeast, a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. And so they were preparing what God had told them. And we need to count things up and be prepared. Present with the bread 7 male lambs, each a year old without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord together with the grain offerings and the drink offerings, a food offering and an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And then it doesn't end there. It's like sacrifice 1 male goat and 2 lambs. 1 male goat for a sin offering, 2 lambs each year, a year old, for a fellowship offering. Mate, this is like the original men's meat meeting. This is a lot of meat going on here and a bit of bread. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? But they were adding this up for this whole month, adding it up. And they did that all like this festival, and then there was another festival, and God gave. And they were always calculating, they were always preparing something to bring to God. And, you know, God told Abraham, he said, look, I have an agreement with you. You're going to have a son. It's like, great, but I'm old. Yeah, but you're going to have a son. Okay, I believe you. So go outside of your tent, come out, look up at the stars, count the stars. If you can count the stars, count the stars. That's how many offspring you're going to have while he's old. But he believed God and he went outside and he was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how many. Every night outside, right? I think I've got those ones. I'm onto these ones. He started to see little faces looking back at him. It was like, father of many nations, father of many nations. So he started to believe God, but he was focused on what God said. He was focused on what God was doing and what he said. And life came out of him. New life, Isaac. Life came out of him and fresh breath came out of that. Isaac means laughter, and he just focused on what God was saying. And here the disciples have seen Jesus go back to heaven, and they're just so focused. They are totally focused on what God is saying to them, and they're willing to wait. They're willing to stay there. They're willing to believe. And how many times do we're just focusing on what that problem is, or we're just not quite sure, we're not focused on God. And here they were of one accord, together, meeting. You ever heard the term measure twice, cut once? One of my guys didn't do that last week, and it really annoyed me. And the post was obviously in the wrong spot. And I couldn't change it because it had about 20 tons of stuff around it. And it was just, anyway, measure twice and cut once. It's so important to count and to keep counting. It's so important to just keep focusing on God, because you don't want to get it wrong. You want to make sure you get your calculations correct when it comes to spiritual things. When it comes to, years ago I did this thing where we counted everything that we ate in 1 week and how much exercise we did. Sarah and I, we did that. We did it once for a week. But it's interesting. It makes you think about it. Am I physically on the train tracks of health physically, or am I measuring correct? Am I living correct? So spiritually, am I counting things up, or am I just too busy? I'm not calculating. I've got to factor in some time with the Lord, or I've got to factor in some of this thing called reading the Bible. If you have a Bible, you need to read it, and if you read it, you need to believe it. Am I factoring in, am I adding this up correctly? Measure twice and just cut it once. At that time, Matthew 25, verse 1 and 4, says that Jesus said, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took lamps but did not take any oil. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. They measured twice and they cut it once. They measured it twice and they just cut it one time. The bridegroom took a long time to come. They all fell asleep. When they got up, when he came, the wise ones trimmed their lamps. They had oil. The foolish ones didn't have any oil. They weren't prepared. They didn't calculate properly. So then they had to go and find some oil. And then the door was shut. They didn't get to go in. The anointing. We need to calculate, make sure we're walking with God so that we're carrying this fresh breath. We're carrying this anointing, that we're prepared. So we've been preparing now for a while for this trip to Indonesia, to Bali, to go and do all this stuff. And there's preparation involved. There's calculating. There's adding it up. There's airfares. There's cost. Have you got this kind of calculation and this preparation going on in your life? And at different times, at different seasons, you'll have different preparation. Eleanor last week shared just a powerful communion word. And what she said was that she was walking along the beach asking God, asking him about, you know, he had so much, what's it like to be generous if you have everything? But she had preparation, spiritual preparation. A few weeks ago, Grace and I, we went out to Kmart. I bought all these balls, little plastic ones and boxes. We went and we came back and then we went and we did the Falcons and I got them to stick a box on their head, spin around, and then sit in the box if they could, if they didn't want to. I put extra tape around the boxes because I knew they'd fall over and crack the box, and I wanted to get through the relay and the little challenge, and the preparation was going on. And so have you got any preparation in your life? Have you got some preparation? Are you involved with the anointing? Because it's great to play ball games and box games and tell people about Jesus. Are you involved with this kind of preparation? Have you got some preparation going on? The Israelite nation got sent into captivity. All of them. They just left God out for a long enough time that they ended up in Babylon, which is a very long way from where their homeland was in Jerusalem. It's like way away. Nebuchadnezzar comes, trashes everything, takes them captive, kills most of them. And this is where you get the book of Daniel and all these other prophets. Haggai's in there, Zechariah, the book of Jeremiah leads into it. And it's this season where they go. Now, God decrees 70 years. You're going to be there. Go live in that place for 70 years. Once the 70 years is up, I'll call you home. You can come back. All the way. It's a long way. But you can come back. No planes back then. By donkey. Come back. So they spend 70 years there. Daniel reads this book of Jeremiah. He starts praying for them to return. Cyrus becomes king. They overtake Babylon. He gets told about it. He catches wind of this. And so he says, all right, you can all go. You can all go back. 50,000 of them make the trip back. They come back to Jerusalem. Straight away, they start rebuilding the temple. Now, it's estimated that there were over 200,000 of them living in Babylon. And these people in that 70 years, they had started to build businesses. They started to have homes and families. And they had their lives there. And they weren't prepared to listen to God. They weren't prepared to come back to what God had told them to do. They weren't prepared to risk something. They weren't prepared to take a journey. They weren't prepared for the cost. And 50,000 of them came back. The rest stayed. They weren't prepared to be involved in what God was doing. They didn't make any preparations. They didn't make any calculations on coming back and doing what God had called them to, what he had asked them to. Now, these guys that came back, they didn't have it easy. It wasn't easy. And so often people just get caught up in our own little sphere, our own children or our own lives or our own stuff. Or are we prepared, like these guys on the day of Pentecost, to just do what Jesus said and just lay it down and just lay our lives down? Because that's what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to lay our lives down for his life in you. He said, lay it down, lay it all down. These people, they just held on to it in that place. And we need to make sure that we have preparation. There is always preparation. God's people have always had preparation. We will always have preparation. Before Jesus came, there was preparation. There was a lady called Anna. She married young. Her husband passed away. She spent her whole life in the temple praying and fasting for the Messiah to come. That's what she did. There was preparation before Jesus came. There was a guy, Zechariah, who had been told, you will see the Messiah. He was a priest in the temple. He sees the baby Jesus. He prophesies over him. There was preparation. John the Baptist comes. He prepares the way for the Lord. Jesus comes out. He lays his life down. He goes down in baptism, comes up out of the water. Heaven is open. A dove comes on him. The Holy Spirit comes down onto him. This is all part of the preparation. God is always into preparation. He's always doing something to prepare someone in your path, someone next to you, someone near you. And are you prepared to tell someone about Jesus? Are you prepared? Have you got this preparation going on in your spirit and in your life? Have you got some preparation? God is always preparing. Jesus said, it's good that I go away from you, because if I go, I will prepare a place for you. And you don't want to miss out on that. You don't want to not calculate and factor and think about that and focus on, oh yeah, heaven. Jesus is preparing a place for me. And he said he will come back and take you to be where he is. God has prepared a place. God is into preparation. He's always preparing a place. And Jonah wasn't prepared to listen to God. He just was like, nah, didn't want to put my sandals on. I'm not taking my walking stick, and I'm not going to Damascus. That's pretty much what he said when God said, I want you to go to Damascus, and I want you to tell them to repent. And he was like, I don't want to do that. They might not like me. They might not listen to my message. I don't know if I'm really hearing you properly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the coast, and then I'm going to go onto a boat, and I'm going to go down in that boat, and I'm going to go to sleep. That's what I'm going to do. I know what you're doing, but that's what I'm going to do. And then he ended up going down into the water and then down into a fish. I mean, what a downer. This is a long way down. And he had to spend 3 days in acid in a fish's belly before he got vomited onto dry land. When you get to heaven one day, you'd be like, Jonah, how's the vomit? Is it good? Did your skin go that crinkly and pale? Would have smelt. Fortunately for him, there was a fish and it did spit him out. And fortunately, he had a change of heart and he went. And when he went, he brought breath into that whole city. He brought life into that whole place. We're not just going to Bali doing all this preparation and we're just going to do all this food packs, and that's great. What we want to bring is breath. We want to bring something fresh. We're going to bring encouragement. We're going to bring the Holy Spirit. We're going to see change. We're going to bring some breakthrough there. We're going to take some ground. It's going to be great. It's going to be warm. And there could be some challenges. We've already had one team member who can't come, Robin, who's done a lot of preparation for it, and unfortunately she can't make it. She's had some health issues and we're blessing her, but she was prepared to lay it down. She was prepared. Can I have the band come up, please? She was prepared. We want to make sure that we're prepared, that we have some preparation going on. And for you, maybe you've had seasons where you've been more involved with something. You've had a lot of time. Maybe you've got little kids and you can't do it. Maybe you're just, you know, you're just ready to go again. But there should be simple preparation of walking with Jesus and being willing and having a heart that just says, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. I've added it up. I've calculated this. Might not make sense in the natural, but I'm trusting you. I'm focused on you. And when I'm focused on you, I know you're focused on me and you're in me and I am in you. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's stand and pray this morning. Just as we close, I'm going to be up the front if you want. You need to be, you've been calculating things out and you're not got that heart that's just walking with God. I'm happy to pray with you. This is a day that we remember, the day of Pentecost, where there was life, where Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and there was fresh breath. And if you've not got that breath this morning, that freshness in God, God wants you to be fresh and to be alive and to calculate your race and to run your race and to be involved in what He's doing. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, that you do have wonderful things. You have wonderful plans. You have wonderful presence for us. And that's where it begins. It begins with your presence. It begins with the people that are around us needing that presence that's in us. And so, Lord, where we're just not holding on to you, where we're not being filled with your Spirit, Lord God, I bless that here today. I thank you. You want to give us your best. You've given us your best. Your touch is on us, Lord God. There's new life in our hearts, new breath in our spirits this morning. And so I bless that here today, that freshness of your breath in our spirit, new life in our spirit today, Lord God. And we do thank you for your plans and purposes. And we line ourselves up with those today. And we just receive that. We see, Lord, a refreshing in you today in Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.